Welcome back to today's episode on the Top Dogs Podcast. In this episode, we are exploring furries in different forms of media, from beloved movies and TV shows to video games and visual novels. Join us as we discuss our favorite furry-themed entertainment and share some of our memorable experiences. We'll also talk about the role of furry media in building the furry fandom and our anticipation for upcoming furry projects. So sit that tail down and let's dive into Furries in the Media, Part 2. I'm Stream Arkadad.
I'm Sakura Hanatsuki.
I'm Phoenix Whiskey.
I'm Trick the Stick.
And I'm Riker.
Alright, so as Stream was mentioning, today's episode, we are going back to Furries in the Media. This is part two. And you guys, we're going to dive right into the favorite TV shows, movies, and all things furry. Riker, why don't you go ahead and get us started? Tell us about some of your favorite TV shows and movies that have furries in them and why they're your favorite.
Well, a childhood favorite would be Balto movies and Courage the Cowardly Dog and Scooby-Doo.
And why?
I don't know why so I really like them. I just grew up watching them. They were like just something I would watch when I was feeling down. They made me happy.
Okay, that's fair. How about you, Phoenix?
Ooh, some of my favorite furry movies whenever I was growing up had to be The Lion King, for obvious reasons. Balto, yeah, was same thing, just because I loved the story around him. I just was enthralled by their storytelling around this character, and I just loved it. And then for a TV show, was also Courage the Cowardly Dog. You hit it spot on. I love the wacky adventures of this little dog in the middle of nowhere, because that's kind of where I grew up as well, where I didn't really have a lot of neighbors around me, and it was just me and my family kind of in the little corner of nowhere. So it was something that I could also relate to.
Very nice. What about you, Trick?
Oh my gosh, so Pokemon specifically was a huge inspiration for me when I was younger. Oh yeah, no, Arkadad. But like, I watched that anime as a kid and I grew up on that stuff. That was my Saturday morning before I go to school cartoon. Oh, Lion King, I love all three movies. They're my favorite things in the world. I love Lion King. It's just amazing. It just is, it's a hyperfixation at this point. What about you?
All right, Captain Talkie Pants. Let's hear it.
I'm not going to be saying much on that one. Actually, I haven't, I've watched all the Walt Disney movies, but if I would say I have a favorite, not really. Like, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Probably what I enjoyed watching the most, I don't know if that will fit, but just like Trick, Pokemon was really the thing that I loved watching when I was a kid. It's something that I really enjoyed. First two generations I've watched. After that, I kind of lost track and I grew older, but I was listening in sometimes on VHS tapes, so this is how far back it's going. If I would say a movie, it'd probably be Zootopia. I really enjoyed that movie. It was beautifully made. And the latest movie of Puss in Boots, I thought that the characters were absolutely amazing, and DreamWorks really outdone themselves on the animation style. Being somewhat of a 3D artist, I saw some of the styles and techniques they use, and I think they did a fantastic job. And the character Death, I understand why there's so much hype about him, because he's really, really interesting. So yeah, that's for me.
That's very fair. And you know, a big one for me was The Lion King. I got to give it to all of you guys. Like, seriously, The Lion King, number one. I saw that when it came out in 1994 in movie theaters. You wanted to say something?
Oh, it was actually something that I wanted to add on to streams for the Puss in Boots. It actually was nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Film.
Honestly, I'm not even surprised, because they killed it. They did a fantastic job on it. It was really cool. When you look, when they're pointing the sword or the hat, you can draw these imaginary lines, and the animator made sure that these lines were drawn so you would look at a specific place in the scene. And that entry scene where Puss is meeting Death for the first time, every time Death speaks, the horizon kind of shifts to give that perception of, like, something is going wrong. Like, even before you know about him, you knew something was off. off because they would tilt the horizon more and more over time. I thought that was super clever.
And, you know, it's in these movies and TV shows that we find, you know, a lot of things that are very memorable, a lot of things that really stick with us and, you know, through the years from our childhood to even, like, you know, today. But, you know, media is more than just movies and, you know, TV shows. You know, when it comes to furry-themed video games, has there been any that have, like, really struck you? Any of them that have stuck to your heart super close and have really kind of, like, not only shaped who you were, but, you know, shaped who you are? And you've already got your hand up and you are prepared to go, so let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Okay, Pokemon. Again, I'm going to have to say I played the Pokemon games. I did Mystery Dungeon, and that was euphoria to be like, oh, my God, you're a human that woke up as a Pokemon. What? That was amazingly fun.
Really like the Pokemon games. Pokemon Stadium on Nintendo 64 was one of my favorite. I mostly played the minigames. I didn't really do much of the fighting. I did play some of the Pokemon games. I played Pokemon Yellow. I did start maybe 2 or 3 years ago playing Pokemon Red. Never really finished it. But also another game that I played a lot. I don't know if it's furry related much, but I've seen plenty of work, but the Crash Bandicoot games, absolutely. Ooh. Love them, all three of them. Crash Bash and Crash Team Racing was one of my favorite. I played a ton of those with my sister and my brother. Really something I really remember. You know, we didn't have like Nintendo, so I didn't play Mario Kart, but I played a ton of Crash Team Racing, which was really fun. Love those guided rockets. Oh my god, they annoyed the hell out of me.
So I did play Pokemon whenever I was growing up, specifically Pokemon Black and White. I loved those games, but one of my favorite ones growing up, and not a lot of people remember this, were the Rabbids games.
Oh,
yes. The ones where the little miniature rabbits that were screaming all over the place. I loved playing those mini games of they were doing one where you like spun the cow around and see how far you threw it. Oh, that was one of my favorites. Just a little wacky game.
Rabbits is what they were. Rabbid rabbits.
Raving rabbits, I think they were
or
called.
Raving rabbits.
Yeah, they were the raving rabbits.
Oh, they were insane.
I thought it was rabbit rabbits.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, I remember because my ex-wife was really big into those, and you always had to remember it had the D at the end. It was rabbids, not rabbits, which was always an interesting, and it just made them their own species.
True.
All right, Riker, I've given you time to think about it. Let's hear it.
So, I only really have one, and I grew up on this game from PSP to PlayStation 3. It's Ratchet & Clank.
Yes.
One of my all-time favorite video games. And I got really, really upset when the new one is only for PlayStation 5.
Aw.
I love the series. I quickly fell in love with the series growing up, and I can't play that one. How dare they?
Well, you should stop buying the expensive store I sell and get a PS5 instead.
No, get my plan.
Oh yeah, I know. But if you're gonna be buying something, get a VR compatible PC so you can join us in full 4K HD resolution.
Oh yeah. Cool. That way I can see Sakura fully.
Yeah, you won't regret it. I guarantee it. You won't regret it.
Funny enough, Riker, that Ratchet & Clank game is actually the only Ratchet & Clank game I played. It's the one on the PS5.
Without me? How could you?
I
thought we were friends.
I know, I'm horrible.
Heartbroken.
It's okay, you'll recover. Just like other things on your body. I gotta stop. Sorry.
Oh my god, stream, no. If there's one thing I'm noticing here, you guys, is, you know, all of these movies, these TV shows, and, like, the video games, there's a lot of crosstalk going on here, which, you know, is really kind of bringing about that sense of community. For you guys, you know, what role do you think furry media plays in, you know, fostering a community? What do you guys think really brings us together as a fandom?
Okay, so for me, I believe that there would not be a community without the media. We congregate around the media, the characters, the art, the music, and the costumes. Without media and the movies and stuff, we wouldn't have the fandom as it is today.
I can definitely pick up what you're putting down. You know, it's the common interests, the characters, the, like you were saying, the characters, the movies, the TV shows, the video games, the common interests, kind of like what we talked about in, like, you know, the anime episode of, like, the furry fandom and the anime fandoms kind of coming together because, you know, we all share, you know, one common thing is we all love. Even if it is just within the furry fandom itself, it brings us a commonality. It gives us something to talk about. It gives us something to enjoy together.
It gives us a common bond, a reason to be a community.
Exactly. What about you, Riker?
Exactly like with what Trick said, without movies, social media, all that, we wouldn't really have a furry fandom. Along with that, all those movies and TV shows and whatnot, you could see like everyone creating their own stuff and then showing it to others. Without, like, social media and all that, people can't really be themselves or show others who they really are.
No, that makes perfect sense. What about you, Stream?
I think all of those movies that have any sort of, like, anthropomorphic characters, it gives us something to gather around and talk about and, you know, connect with each other. We all got this common passion. I mean, some of these movies and stuff revealed it upon ourselves that, okay, I really like this kind of, you know, art style. These characters, I think they're interesting, they're different. And those movies make it so that we can gather around, watch with some friends, have a good time, talk about it. So, honestly, like, Trick, you gave a pretty perfect explanation. I have nothing more to add to it. Good job.
And then lastly with you, Mr. Phoenix, let's hear it.
I do agree with you, Trick, that without representation in media, we wouldn't have a fandom today. But also, even if we did have a fandom, we wouldn't, without media, it wouldn't grow. Not as much as it has already. We see these fuzzy, fun-loving characters in movies or stories, and that's what we want to do. That's an interest that we all share, and having them in movies makes it more mainstream, and the fandom grows along with them.
Absolutely. You know, we've been sitting here, we've been talking about movies, we've been talking about video games, we've been talking about TV shows, but there's actually another form of media out there that we haven't actually touched on, and that's visual novels. I already see the gears turning over on this side of the room.
Can you tell we're excited about this question?
Maybe just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit. Just a little.
In that case, I'm going to be most excited to hear from this side of the room for to start here. Do you guys have a favorite visual novel? How has it captivated you? You know, what kind of influence does it have on you?
There's a few. I haven't played a bunch of VNs. I've played three so far, and I loved every single one of them. They're all beautifully made. They all have their pros and cons. Riker is going to tell his favorite. Me, it's one of my favorite games, but it's not my all-time favorite. For the story, it's amazing. Ad Astra was obviously, you know, with Amicus, lovable character. Storyline will make you get angry, laugh, frustrated, seduce, cry, cheer up, like celebrate. You will go through a plethora of emotions. It's very intense. It's a very intense game. It's pretty linear. There's not multiple choices, maybe one or two, but it's really well written, and the art style is absolutely adorable. I gotta say my favorite for now is Shelter, made by Raus Wolfsky. His visual novel feels more like a game than an actual visual novel. There's different routes. He's still working on it. I think he's at build 37 right now, and he's about to finish 3 of the 5 storylines. And what's really cool is that there's really cool action scenes happening. There's quirky, funny moments. There's quirky, sexy moments that happen. And the romance between the characters is really good as well. These games have really inspired me. I would like to make my own visual novel. I'm currently working on a project called Busted. I build a team, and my husband is going to be the writer. I could talk for this for hours, but yeah, I just love them. Go for it, Mike.
Yes. What Stream said, yes, you'll be angry, you'll be sad. You'll feel a lot of emotions like reading, especially like Ad Astra. I did. Hated every moment of that.
You hated it, but you loved it at the same time. That's the weird thing. That's the weird thing.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem.
Sure, Jan.
But I have read many visual novels, unlike Stream. 3. Wow. But I have, so far, I have 3 novels that I really enjoy to read, like Adastra, and then 2 new ones that have recently come out, which is Northern Lights and Cleaved. Like, so far, great start for both of them. I do recommend checking those out as long as you are, you know, the appropriate age. But yeah, they're very enjoyable.
I've been seduced by Cleaved. I just played Build 3, and oh my god, Calder, one of the main characters your character hangs out with, he's lovable. Absolutely lovable. It's so cute. And he's funny. What about you, Phoenix? Have you played any VNs or anything?
I've only played 2, and I'm currently playing through 1 at the moment. It's called Echoes. I personally have this sort of love for the paranormal, the spiritual, and the dark and creepy in story format. So having this VN combined my 2 greatest passions for both horror / paranormal and, you know, the furry fandom. It goes through these different stories and builds up these 2 characters' relationship through trial and trauma, and I just love it. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm loving it so far.
So for me, I really haven't done any VNs before. Do you guys have any recommendations?
Oh, that's opening
Everyone
up a question.
Everyone just looks to Riker.
Because I'm going to agree with him. He's going to call out one, and I know exactly which one I'm going to agree with him.
I'll send you my list.
Okay, send me your list. Never really done a VN before, and I really am interested. I've just haven't really had the time.
Now, on this topic, you know, as a subpart, Riker, why don't you give our viewers, like, you know, a few titles that they should check out, you know, if they haven't gotten into visual novels before?
Okay, so let's start out with, you know, Adastra, the basic. Northern Lights, I recommend. Cleaved, Extracurricular Activities, A New Dawn. Let's see, what else? My brain. I'm at 5,
Shelter
right?
Was
yeah,
really
that's
good.
5. Oh, yeah, Shelter, of course. Norway Home. Shelter.
Smoke Room is pretty good. It's pretty interesting, too, as well. But for start, Trick, I highly recommend you go with Adastra. There's not a bajillion different decisions. The story is pretty linear, and it's a good way to start into VNs. And the story is amazing. It's really well written.
Okay.
There's also Remember the Flowers, Socially Awkward, Road to Yet Traveled, In Case of Emergency, Eden's Reach, Rain Check. Yeah, there's a lot. I could continue to go on, but I'm not gonna.
I think we're good.
Yeah. I still had like 20 more to go through. The ceiling's pretty.
The ceiling's pretty.
Oh my gosh. It'd be a shame if you ended up through it at the rate you're going. We're sitting here talking about a lot of things that are, you know, past and current. You know, is there anything coming up, like, you know, in whether it be sooner or later, that you guys are like super anticipating and can't wait for it to happen?
Ooh, okay. So there were 2 that I had in my head. Zootopia 2, I can't wait for it. I love Zootopia 1. That was actually the movie that introduced me to the furry fandom. Loved that. But I don't know if this technically counts as furry, but I'm going with it anyway. The next one in the Godzilla Minus One trilogy. I loved Godzilla Minus One. It was amazing with cinematography, the story. And for those of you who don't speak or read Japanese, that's totally fine. They do have a dub version, but I highly recommend not listening to that and going straight with just the natural sound. I literally just watched it today. It's phenomenal. They're coming out with 2 new ones, I think, next year. And I am so excited for that.
I've heard about Zootopia 2. I'm somewhat excited. But on me, on my end, is there's a lot of VNs that I've been holding back because they're not finished. And I know for a fact that Haps is working on doing all the artwork for Kimya, which is the follow-up to Adastra. This project has been put on standby for like somewhat around like 5 years or something, and they're actually going back to finishing it, so I can't wait to get it started. I'm also can't wait for Ross to finish his update for Max's route on Shelter. It was really interesting backstory. The characters are super interesting. The fight scenes are epic. So I'm really excited for that, and I can't wait to be able to start working on my VN as well. I'm plaguing it again, but it's something that occupies occupies a lot of my mind lately. Yeah, that's pretty much it, what was coming up. These are the things. Smoke Room, they're actively pushing updates. I thought the game was finished, but it was not. So I was like, I would have waited a little longer then. But Smoke Room is also, I've been really excited for the updates as well. What about you, Riker? You look excited.
So I'm just really excited for two of them. Well, three, but two only right now. Northern Lights has another update coming. I am extremely excited for that. It's going to be one of their largest updates so far. And I'm excited for a certain dad's visual novel that he's planning. Because I keep hearing about it, and he's like, it's going to make me cry. Then I want to cry.
Oh, you're going to cry. I can guarantee it. You're going to cry for two reasons.
Should I be worried?
It's the type of crying you see in Ad Astra, honestly.
Ah, okay.
But there's a beautiful ending at the end, a beautiful resolution that will make you cry as well, because it's too beautiful.
What about you, Trek?
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't really keep up with current Mia. My little tism brain likes to watch things over and over and over and over again, so it's hard to get me to watch new things. But I think the most current thing I watched was Wish, and, like, that was not good. I don't even remember the last piece of furry media Disney released. I really don't keep up with current things.
Me neither.
Honestly, though, no, I'm very much stuck in the past.
I watch Lion King over and over and over and over again.
Miércoles.
Disney is actually coming out with a prequel to the live-action Lion King, Mufasa.
Yeah, and, okay, so, ooh. I keep the live-action version of Lion King as, like, a very blank space in my head that doesn't exist.
Thank you.
So I keep forgetting that that's coming out. Because that movie made me sad. That movie made me so disappointed, and then I went and watched the original Lion King to make myself feel better.
The same. Literally same. I went to go and watch it in theaters. And then literally came back and then watched all three movies just to make myself feel better. All three.
Oh no! I feel that. Oh my gosh.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, if you're looking to snag awesome perks while supporting us, explore our server subscription on Discord or Patreon. By becoming a podcast supporter, you'll access exclusive behind-the-scene footage, join supporter meetups, express yourself with a custom hand-drawn emoji featuring the Top Dogs team, and chat with the podcast team and fellow fans. Plus, we got the new After Dogs show for mature audiences at just $2.99 a month. Craving more? Upgrade to the podcast Supporter Plus for $5.99 a month. Enjoy episode voting, suggest podcast episodes, and be part of our live audience. Plus, unlock exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligations to join these subscriptions, but your support generally makes a huge difference for our team. And to those who've already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Wow. And if you on don't you, subscribe... Remember, we're going to bring the giant pencil out and erase your nose.
I like that.
I like my nose, Bob.
Well, good thing you subscribed.
Yeah.
All right. So, everybody out there listening, we asked our viewers if you could visit any fictional furry world from a game, movie, or visual novel, which would you choose to explore and why? All right, we had Lykaios come in and say the world of Brock the Investigator. The interesting atmosphere and hunky anthro characters. Love the look and feel of the world as they progress through the story. From our audience, we have Justin the Firewolf Dog, who answered the world of Spyro. I just love dragons, and I would love to explore the whole vast world and everything. Also, the dragons are pretty cool, and the story's really cool. Absolutely. Shameless Man 89 says Corneria from Star Fox. I'd say Talon 4 from Metroid Prime 2. Let's go. Another Metroid fan out there. You have my heart, Shameless Man. You've got my heart. And last but not least, we've got Essena. I hope I pronounced your name. If I mispronounced it, I truly apologize. But they responded, it would have to be the Ratchet and Clank universe for me, primarily because I want to see and meet the actual Ratchet in person, because for being a very perseverant hero, and he's cute AF.
Valid.
Valid.
That is very valid.
True.
Very. Great storyline.
Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn.
I think somebody's getting excited for the next set of questions here. Oh my goodness.
What's the dog doing?
the dog be bouncing his chair. That's what he be doing. Stream, you're the one jumping out of your chair. Let's go ahead and get you answering this question.
It has to be Shelter. I love the community that they built in that futuristic bunker, and the fact that you can use mana from different species to have ability and fighting skills is super cool. I love it. And also the characters are very eye-pleasing, I'll say that. Just for that point as well. And I like Cold. Shelter is set up in like in a tundra, and this bunker is powered by the mana created by its inhabitants. So the more people there is, the more functionality the bunker unlocks, and more commodities unlocks for everybody, and it looks super cool. So yeah, me, it has to be Shelter.
What about you, Phoenix?
Ooh, I would have to go with Zootopia. Life really wouldn't change all that much, you know. I'd go straight in to start living my life amongst other furry characters.
Trick?
Lion King. I want to date Kovu. Get asked.
The truth comes out.
Oh, no. I totally didn't say that. You're lying so
much. Okay, Trick, how many times have you seen the Lion King's movie? How many times? Be honest. Be honest.
Let's see. I had a DVD as a kid, and I have it on Disney Plus, so probably at least 100 times, if not more.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Lion King 2 has probably been like 200 times.
Understandable. Understandable.
Stop it. Get some help.
What about you, Riker?
All I need is one word. I'm not going to go into detail. Adastra.
Oh my goodness.
Of course.
Yeah. Where else would I go?
You're right.
I'm holding back to do a joke right now. I'm holding back. Like, we have to censor this if I do it.
No, no. Ladies, gentlemen, gentle NBs, and everything in between, calm yourselves down. It's okay. No.
Can we throw him?
No.
Oh.
Am I upset? No, I am not. A little.
Honestly, like when it comes to like my answer to that one, I would definitely have to go with Shameless Man's response about Corneria from Star Fox. I grew up with Star Fox. I love outer space. I'm a huge Trekkie. So like the idea of like furries in space and spaceships and, you know, the whole like solar system being at war and stuff like that, like, that would be so cool to me. I would absolutely love, love, love for that to be like where I would go in the furry universe. And so, now you guys have a lot of experience in this. You know, you know a lot of visual novels. You guys know a lot of the stories and stuff. But the creators themselves, are there any creators who deserves, you know, the word out there? Who should we be looking for?
He's going to hate me for this. He is. But, the creator of Northern Lights, Truffle Otter, he does a lot of work for this novel. He's been working on it constantly, and he loves to interact with us in the community for his server. And, like, we do movie nights, there's game nights. Like, he tries to make sure that everyone else is still having fun. Don't hate me.
What's up, Trig? Let's hear it.
I actually actually have, so I've never actually like looked at his visual novels, but I know that they're good because they're like on the Switch. But Clay's Husky, if I remember correctly, his visual novel, I think those are visual novels. I forget what they're called. Yeah, I don't
remember. Like a choose your own adventure kind of thing?
I think so. I think that's what it was. Like, I don't remember what they were called. But he's actually a really cool creator of video games. I just forget which one he made, because he made like two or three.
Unfortunately, I don't know his work. I apologize.
He's like a pink bro.
I'm a pink sis. Does that count?
Oh, yes.
What about you, Phoenix?
Well, as I haven't really gone through that many visual novels, I will say that there is one creator who I've been reading for comics is Jackaloo. I love his style. I love his artwork. He does a lot. I will say he does do some like 18 plus comics, but I love his art style. It's just so unique and yet so detailed with his work. It's just amazing.
And what about you, Stream? Let's hear it.
I gotta give credit to Calvin or Hyena Herd. Hyena Nerd on Twitter X. He is the director and main writer for Cleaved, and I've been speaking with him a little bit. He's super cool guy, very fun to talk with, and somebody that is very passionate. He puts a lot of work and effort into his VN. He's been partnering with Haps to work on the sprites, and they just released Build 3. It's a very early game, but I'm excited for what he's coming up with, and I've talked with him, and the guy is very easy to approach, very easy to talk to. So Calvin or Hyena Nerd is the one you're looking for.
And it's ironic that you talk about this memorable experience you've had with this creator, and I wanted to extend that out to the rest of you guys too, and maybe you also have another story that you could share as well. Are there any memorable experiences that you've had because of furry media, whether it be the show or movie itself or from the creator? Phoenix, why don't you get us started?
The moment I first met a toothless cosplayer, I lost my sanity pretty much. I went feral over that costume. I was like, oh my god, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? I was like bothering the f*** out of this guy. Shoot. I'm trying so hard, but they were so kind to me and just like didn't break character, so they didn't respond to my questions. But they were just this really cute, really adorable character, and their performance was great. It made me want to make more costumes and perform as a character as well, and it just inspired me to do what I do now.
That's really freaking awesome. All right, you've got the hand up like you have an answer for me now.
I do. I finally remembered it. So whenever I was first starting out in the fandom, I was just a small artist, just doodling, doing fan arts and whatnot. And then I saw one of my favorite creators, Beta Eta Delota, had put out his P.O. box so that, he could receive gifts, and he was doing fan art. He was doing like fan art reviews. And so I had done one of his Isona Maverick. And I had sent it in hoping that he would review it. He didn't, but then as I got to college, I'd run back through some of his old videos, and I saw that he had actually reviewed my little fan art of his, and it boosted my confidence, and I loved it so much.
So much love. Hell yeah.
That's adorable.
Let's continue the line down here. Do you got another story for us, Stream?
So I have two stories that I thought it was really cool, but I don't know if it fully answers the question, but it's the best I can come up with. Like, I don't know if like avatar making or people that make avatars is a form of furry media. Meeting Craig for the first time was really something I will always remember. I've always, admired his work, his avatars. The Zeus model has always been an all-time favorite, and I'm still wearing it today. It's heavily modified, but it still comes from Crick. And I saw how approachable he was. I saw how humble he was about his work and ready to give compliment back too. And I thought that, like, this guy is absolutely amazing. If there's gonna be, like, somebody popular that I would take as a role model, it would definitely be him, because he saw the work that I did on my avatar and he was like, man, what you did is amazing. That's really cool. Like, I can't believe you did this. This is really cool. And I'm like, well, you made the base of this, and like, this is really cool. I love your work. So it's always a mutual exchange, and we've actually built a friendship over time. And what's really funny is that he wants to be like me, and I want to be like him. So it's aww, like a mutual thing happening. Aww. It's absolutely adorable. I really like Craig. He met my husband at FWA last year, and they really bonded together as well. So such a really nice, cool guy. What about you, Riker?
The only really memorable stuff I've had with anything is actually with you guys at FWA. I don't know if this counts as an answer, but yeah, it was. And I also got to see my friend meet the person who actually brought him into the furry fandom. I'm not gonna say any names or anything, but they got to meet Telephone.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's like this in the background, he's dancing.
Oh, yeah, he's so excited back there.
Getting jiggy with it.
I have a funny, weird thing that happened. Can I bring it up? I'll try to make it quick.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So at one point, Horse, the animator, if you know, you know, was a guest of honor at Fernal Equinox in Toronto. And I hosted a room party, and he actually showed up. And, you know, we did an episode about stereotypes. He's French, and it showed the moment he stepped into the room. Because when you open up a door in French culture, not everywhere, but from my personal experience, when you invite somebody over, you don't need to say, make yourself at home. They will do it themselves. And when you're not used to that, it's really shocking. And then I remember that, oh yeah, a lot of the French culture kind of is like that. I had a boyfriend, one of my exes was like that. So I was like, oh yeah, sure, I forgot about that. But it's like, it shocked me at first because I wasn't expecting it. But the guy is actually super sweet, very easy to talk to. And yeah, he's hilarious. And he does great work.
There's actually one question that I'm genuinely curious about, and I know we're getting pretty close to the end here, but there's one question that I am genuinely curious about. And Trick, I feel like I already know that your answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Favorite furry character from the media? Like, who is, like, the one that either A, you fawn over, or B, one that is super close to your heart, or C, you know, something that is just like,
non-Riker.
You know, when...
Calm down, Mike. I know what you're going to say. I know your answer as well, Trick. Go ahead.
Because I have two.
I wage $5 on that one. $5, I know what he's going to say.
Fine.
Number one, I'm going to throw you all for a curveball. It's Chatterton. Chatterton's my favorite Pokemon. I flippin' love Chatterton. They're a little musical birdie boy. Little parrot boy, I love him. He's so cute. And then Kovu. But
Kovu. Yep, saw that one coming.
I love Kovu.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know. Okay, the stream. We are watching Lion King 2. Hosting a movie night.
Okay, number two. What would be number two then?
Bruh. That was number two.
No idea. Either of them. They are.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Okay. I'm going to send you a bunch of Chatterton art later. You're going to hate me for it.
All right, ready for it.
All right, the other one who's been excited. Riker, let's hear it.
So, what was that?
Popping open a cold one, huh?
Oh, that was my husband.
Yeah.
That was on cue, though. That was perfectly timed. That was like
actually that was
timed.
Pretty good. We'll keep that one in.
Totally opened a can of worms. Asking me.
Starts with an A.
Yeah, Amicus.
I knew it.
Of course.
I mean, I have the body pillows. I have 5 of them. I have like 4 charms.
This does not help.
You shouldn't have.
Yeah, right? Everybody, welcome Amicus to Top Dogs.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god. Like, it's totally. Oh my god, that mouth, though. That was a little scary. That smile is. Ooh.
Ah.
Oh yeah, no. No.
I'm still figuring out the gestures on this thing.
No. It, like, the lips opened up like you were some sort of about devour. Also, you're see-through.
Not on my end.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, the heart eyes.
You got the heart eyes. Look at the camera. Look at the camera.
Heart eyes, mother trucker.
Heart eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a funny one. I gotta say, Amicus is one of my favorite as well. I don't blame Riker. I keep teasing with him concerning that, but he is an absolutely lovable character. Though I got to admit, Calder from Cleaved is, he's picking up speed, I'll say that. Quite adorable. Seems a little bit more aware of what is going on compared to Amicus, but their energy is just amazing. Very contagious. You want to hang out with them.
And Phoenix.
Ooh, alright. I got 2 in the tank. One is Sully from Monsters, Inc.
Yes.
He was one of the ones that brought me into the furry fandom. And number 2 is actually more recent. It's Bandit from the TV show Bluey.
Oh,
that's so
okay.
Good.
Wait,
we didn't talk about this at all. Oh my god.
I have a 3 now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one more.
Love the dad vibes.
Socks. Revenge. Socks from Bluey is so autistic coded to me. I feel so represented in Socks. It's so bad. Especially from when I was like a little kid and I constantly wanted to be the dog in Playing House. I was like, I'm the dog. It's just, I feel represented.
I hope you didn't bit off people's ankles when you got angry.
I never bit anyone, actually. I was always the dog kid that got bitten.
I feel that. Very personally. So if you could summarize, like, all of you guys, take a moment to just summarize your love for, you know, furry media and all of it is in just a few words, what would it be? Like, what does it mean to you?
It's a representation of my creativity. I would not be the artist I am today without furry media.
Yes, it's just a part of me that I never really knew was there until... you know, being a part of the furry community. So I get to, you know, be that part of myself now.
For me, it's all about the community. You know, it brings people together. It brings interests. It brings talent. It brings just an incredible love that, you know, you don't see in a whole lot of other places. So that is my whole love for, you know, furry media.
The sense of being part of something is really cool. Being part of the community, feel like everybody understand each other is super cool. I love that feeling of being part something big. And I love seeing the artistic community part of it too. People are oozing with talent. Whatever it is, it can be music, it can be drawing, it can be 3D modeling. Like, everybody has some sort of talent, and you can show it off in this community and, you know, build something big. I feel like you can fully express yourself while still being respectful, of course. And that is something that is really priceless with, you know, some of the regression we've been seeing concerning the LGBTQ community. Like, there's been some regression, and being part of the furry community, you know that there's always going to be a safe place for us to be there. We know that we're always going to feel safe inside the community. There's always going to be the rotten apples out for sure, but like, as a whole, like, we feel safe when we're with each other.
Gonna have to agree with both of you, the community, because without it, I probably would have never met any of you. I love you guys.
I love you too.
We love you too, Riker.
Brain cell buddy.
Aww.
Such a good boy. Such a good boy. Look at you. So adorable.
Alright, you guys, that's gonna... Alright, you guys, that's gonna wrap it up for our part two of Furries in the Media. We appreciate you guys coming along with us on this second dipping into the, you know, whether it be video games, movies, television shows, visual novels, and, like, really finding out, you know, what furry media means to everybody and just how ingrained it is in our lives as furries. So thank you guys for coming by. We appreciate it, and we will look forward to seeing you all in the next episode. So until then, you guys have a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, take care, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye now.
Bye. Love you long time.
Bye.
And that's a wrap.
Trick, you stole my answer. Oh my god.